from the Beer of the Day balcony overlooking the courtyard here at Beer of the Day World Headquarters. It's the Beer of the Day podcast. On today's program, we preview our upcoming trip to San Diego by trying six different beers from the largest brewery in Southern California, Stone Brewing Company. It's a pretty good mix of beers, but we also try Ruination 1.0 versus the new 2.0 version and determine, you know, what the difference is there. I'm Dallas Hulliker. Joining me today, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, and from Pasadena, Jeff Miller. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone.
Decided to change it up a little bit and do a outdoor show. We had pretty good weather here today in Sacramento. It barely cracked the 90s. So since
we're drinking all these light beers, it's nice to be outside on a warm, sunny day.
That's right. 8.8, 9.5, 10.1, 11.2. Yeah, it starts heavy and just gets heavier. But that's what Stone is all about. They're about the high hop, high alcohol, and that's one of the reasons why they're so popular. All right, let's
drop the thing.
Drop the mic. All right, let's start off. This is the Hi-Fi Lo-Fi mixtape is what it's called. It's from the Stochasticity Project series. Normally, we try these beers for the Strange Brew segment, but this one isn't really that strange. It's, we'll tell you what it is as soon as we try it, but it's 8.8%, and Jeff, you have the same beer, right?
I do.
Very nice golden honey amber kind of color to it.
Yeah, I like the color of this. At least mine is a fairly copper color. Not a lot of head.
It reminds me in color of all the beers we had at Lagunitas. Almost identical.
I get a very sweet aroma. Not very hoppy on the aroma. It's kind of this sweet smelling. As cold as this beer is, it just smells warm to me. I don't know why that is. Maybe because we're outside and it's pretty hot.
No, I agree with you. I get that warm smell.
Sweet smell.
Mine smells kind of like grapes, and I know I say that about the occasional beer, but it's that like Midas Touch and Old Stock Ale. It's kind of got that similar grape scent to it. I don't know if it's barrel. Is this barrel aged?
So it's a mix of barrel aged and non-barrel aged beers. So, right on.
I think, Jeff, because the bottle is purple, I think it's tricking your nose.
It could be.
It smells really sweet, which makes you think, oh, there's gonna be a lot of alcohol, so I'm interested to see what it tastes like.
Not very hoppy in my mind. I mean, there's a little bit of like earthy, grassy flavors, but it's not overly hoppy, I guess. I mean, I don't know what to expect from this beer.
I get kind of a tangy fruitiness. Too.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Candy sugars.
I don't know about that sweet, but more fruity sweet, like Dal said. I think grape's a good thing to compare it to.
Yeah, but maybe something like more tart, like
a green grape.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, trying to think of like a kind of not sweet tart, not candy, but kind of a tart. Maybe a sour apple or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Green apple. I think there's some spice in here too. I don't know what spices there are, but there's kind of that exotic. I don't know if it's cloves or what it is, or clove. Some spiciness on the finish. Vanilla, maybe vanilla and clove.
Yeah, I get that. It definitely has kind of a pepper. A little bit bitterness on the aftertaste. This is an interesting beer. It's really hard to put your finger on. Like, there's a lot of different varying flavors going on here.
It's very unstone-like. You know, yeah. What do you say?
It is. Like, I don't know. I mean, this is going to be their experimental beer, so maybe this is them veering away from the stone archetype, but it is very unstone.
Remember the last Stochasticity we tried on the program? It was like, we kind of determined it was like they were disguising a... Yes,
that was the coffee beer show.
Right. Master of disguise.
They were disguising the stout with the, what, kind of, it was a golden ale, I think it was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of their goal with this particular brand? Are they trying to kind of go for a different taste?
I don't know if it's different taste necessarily, just different things.
They're trying to make a different beer than you've ever had, which is why we usually see these on our Strange Brew segment.
Right.
But I had this at the bar, and it wasn't really that strange to me. It actually was pretty good. And so that's why I said, you know what, let's just move this into the regular show as opposed to the Strange Brew.
Well, I think, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, maybe somebody knows the background on this beer. From what I understand, it's like Stone's take on a classic old style English pub beer. And I think it's their version of that. And I don't know what that normally would taste like, but I think that's what they're trying to do with this particular beer.
Yeah, so they have Apollo hops, UK Target, and Willamette hops in this beer, which are, you know, those aren't our typical West Coast style IPA hops we find in, you know, most of the beers we get around here. So it's, you know, the hop presence is there, but it's not overwhelming at all.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not overly hoppy. It doesn't even have a very high alcohol taste to me for being 8.8%. I mean, I don't taste a lot of alcohol.
I don't know what, like, category beer I would put this in. You guys have a take on that?
It, you know, it's funny because it reminds me in a lot of ways to some barley wines, but it's not quite there. It's got the sweetness. It's got kind of a low carbonation. But it's, you know, somewhere between that and an ale, you know, just a regular ale.
I get a real ale flavor because I was going to say, this might be the toothpaste talking, but it could be. It's reminded me a lot of Anchor Steam. I don't know. I'm tasting it.
There's really a lot. There is some dryness to it, like the Anchor Steam.
Like a steam beer.
Liberty we had last week, 4th of July show. And I get that dry mouthfeel and then a little of that bitterness and the aftertaste, that kind of abbreviated bitterness. Very interesting beer.
Yeah, I don't know if I definitely don't dislike it. I don't think I love it, but, you know, it's interesting. It's unique. Nothing spectacular, but it's pretty good.
And now let's get into the beer news of the day. All right, a couple articles came up this week, and the big one was for many, many years, The Simpsons. They had on their show Duff Beer. Everyone knows Duff Beer. And over the years, breweries have tried to make a beer that takes advantage of that popularity of the show and the iconic nature of Duff Beer. Everyone knows Duff Beer. And 20th Century Fox always has to sue them and shut them down. And it's gone on forever. And now 21st Century Fox has decided to come out with... their own Duff beer. And they're only going to start it, I think, in South America, is what it said. But it's probably not too long before we'll see it here. I think they're just kind of starting it out there, and they're going to try and capitalize on this long-time popularity of this fictitious beer.
Any thoughts?
Good. Are we going to get sued by Fox for playing that?
Right. Probably.
I just played it off of YouTube. I don't know who uploaded it, but you should go after them.
As a non-fan and non-watcher of The Simpsons, this story means nothing to me.
Is that right?
Well, I found it interesting that in your research here, it says that it's going to be released in Chile and only available in Chile. And I don't know if I never knew that Chile had such a huge Simpsons following, but that was like the maybe it's the number one show down there, so they're thinking it's going to just be huge.
Yeah, but the thing is, I always imagine Duff beer in the show is like Hams beer or, you know, Miller Lite or some beer like that, where it's like the cheapest beer that you can get, and that's what Homer Simpson would drink.
Right.
So I don't know what Duff's beer is going to be produced by Fox, but I'm not expecting a whole lot here.
Not going to Chile to try it.
Certainly not. But maybe we can get one of our Chilean listeners to ship us some of this.
Please do.
I don't know what the international shipping policy is on cartoon beer, but.
Well, it was interesting because I think they started there because there's a lot of, you know, fake beer, you know, fraudulent beer, and it's especially rampant in Chile for some reason. So they're going to do it there, I guess this article's saying, because if there's already the fake beer, they might as well create the real beer to combat that. So kind of interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not the most exciting story to me, but I'm looking at beer news to bring on the show here. And this article for the entire week, it's popping up. It's like the most number one article when I'm looking for beer news. So we had to give it a once through. The other article that came up, and this is a kind of a very Sacramento-centric, Northern California-centric thing, but Knee Deep is a brewery that over the last few years has grown a tremendous amount.
Exponentially, yeah.
And it is one of my favorite breweries. They do a lot of super hoppy IPAs, which I like, and the fact that I can drive there in an hour and try out all the beers they have is also great. But it's also, you know, been increasing in popularity, where you can get it in 14 states now. They're starting to ship it to Canada. It's throughout California. It's very popular. And their head brewer just this week announced that he's leaving the company. And
co-founder and head brewer.
Yeah. He started started Knee Deep, and now he's going to move on to other endeavors. And I saw this and I was like, oh God, this is terrible. Just last week on this show, we were talking about InBev coming in and buying up breweries and trying to get their foot in the door in the craft beer market by buying pre-existing successful breweries and going that route. And so I was like, okay, I hope that's not the case with this. And as the week progressed, more information came out, and it looks like this is just the parting ways of the two co-founders, and they didn't really see eye to eye anymore. And the head brewer, Jeremy Warren, wanted to maybe go out in a different direction than what the other owner did. And so he's going separate ways. Now, I'm not ruling out in another month or two, we figure out that happened, but you know, we'll see. The article itself, I mean, I guess people sometimes have different opinions, co-founders, business, you know, can go different ways. And so him going a separate way, you know, they made it seem pretty amicable.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like there was something negative that happened, and they're both being pretty professional about it and moving forward. It even says in the article that the remaining owner of Knee Deep is going to be selling hops to Jeremy on his new endeavor, which is a big deal because hops are hard to come by these days. So it looks like they're both moving forward for the best. I'm really looking forward to see what he does in the future.
He says he's going to have a new brewery concentrating on barrel aging, sours, and IPAs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, barrel aging and sours are all the rage right now. I'd say that's the most popular new area that the market is heading. And so it'll be interesting to see what he comes out with. He said probably February 2016 is what the article said.
That's what I said. We should early 2016, we'll see stuff in stores. You know, the barrel aging process and making sours, it takes 6 months just to make a beer. So
as early as February 2016. So that's pretty good.
But we have no idea where this is going to be, right? There's no details on
what area. He
says
it's going to be in the Sacramento area.
Is it?
And he said, you know, stay tuned, another month or whatever will be He's got to go get married, and then
he get married and sign some contracts and move on.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting development, kind of a local story, but it's a brewery that, so Knee Deep is going to keep all their recipes for all their existing beers so that we're going to continue to still get the same beer. And they have four full-time brewers working there. And so hopefully we'll be able to continue to get quality from them and see what, Jeremy will come out with, in his new endeavor. All right, well, let's move into the next beer for the day. Points Unknown IPA, 9.5%. This is Stone's collaboration with Wicked Weed from Asheville, North Carolina, and Ecliptic from Portland, Oregon. And so the three head brewers from these three breweries came together and basically came up with this beer, which is actually two beers. It's a double IPA blended with a barrel-aged Belgian-style triple.
That's my kind of thing.
Me too.
Time will tell.
I saw that, and I thought this has got to be the best beer ever.
Color is almost exactly identical to the last beer, maybe a little bit darker, but a lot less carbonation, a lot less bubbles.
A little less cloudy.
A little darker in color.
A little bit
darker. That we said.
A little more of a yellow-colored head.
Yeah, a much thicker head.
On the smell, I get a lot of Belgian qualities, mm-hmm. which is pretty common for these Belgian Belgian style IPAs.
So, you know, Stone, haven't really talked about it on this show. They're a large brewer. I mean, they're enormous. And I think we all have beers that they make that we really like, but in general, we're not huge fans of them, right? These are all beers that we don't drink a lot. I mean, we get to the Ruination. We've had that a few times. But I like these different beers. It's nice to see something different than the standard Stone IPAs and the...
Right. And that's... It might be being a little hard on Stone because back in the day, they were in the beginning of this whole craft beer, right. hoppy IPA thing. They were the forefront. Stone IPA, like when I started drinking IPAs, was the king, you know? They were the big dog. And then they had Ruination and Arrogant Bastard and all these ones that were even like a little tough for me to get down. And as the craft beer revolution has exploded and there's been so many different breweries coming out, we kind of move away from Stone, and maybe they've been eclipsed a little bit by these other breweries.
Yeah.
And we'll get into Ruination 2.0 coming up, which I think touches on this same topic. But, I think that Stone, it's good to see exactly what Andy said. It's good to see them coming out with, you know, the stochasticity, which is trying out new things, this collaboration. It's good to see new things from Stone as opposed to just the same old five beers they've always had.
So I've had a couple sips now, and I mean, I don't know if I've had a beer like this. I'm glad they made this because, like we said before, it's like I love Belgian triples. I love double IPAs. Kind of merge them together. It's very unique, and like it smells a little bit like alcohol. Most beers to me don't have that alcoholic smell. This one kind of does, but it's you don't really taste it. What's the alcohol percentage on this?
9.5.
9.5. It does not taste alcoholic to me at all. It's smooth. It's creamy. I think it has like perfect carbonation. I think it's a solid beer.
I am impressed by this beer. It's more IPA than Belgian to me. Like it smells Belgian, and usually the Belgian characteristics take over a collaboration like this or a blending like this. But this one really maintains some very IPA characteristics and a very sweet IPA. Like it's
mixed with the Belgian triple.
It's not like I took a IPA and a Belgian triple and mixed it together. It's like these two beers were specially designed to go together with, you know, when blended.
I kind of disagree. To me, the Belgian triple flavors are more apparent than the IPA. I guess everybody has a different palate.
I agree with Jeff, but I also think before you take a sip, if you think double IPA and drink it, you'll taste the double IPA. And then if you think Belgian triple and drink it, you'll taste the Belgian triple. Personally, I don't know that they're two flavors that belong together. I'm not a huge fan.
I generally agree. There's very few of those Belgian style IPAs that I like. It seems like on this one, they've really ramped up the sweetness on the IPA, and then it kind of makes it able to blend with the Belgian a little bit better.
I don't think it's that. I think it's the Belgian triple sweet, and it's mixed with an IPA that's bitter, and this is what you get.
I think it evolves as you take the sip. For me, it's very sweet at first, but then the finish is a little tart. I don't know if it's bitter, but it's tart on the finish, but it's definitely sweet up front.
I don't get the bitterness at all. I mean, there's really no bitterness to me when I drink it. I think it's a really balanced blend of both styles. I think you guys were kind of alluding to maybe it tastes a little bit like an IPA if you're thinking it's an IPA. It tastes like a Belgian if you think it's a Belgian. I think it just has a really balanced flavor of both. I mean, it is really complex.
This is a slow drinker. This is not, I mean, it's high alcohol. There's a lot of sweetness. It's not a fresh beer, I wouldn't say. You know, I think double IPA even, I think it's a pretty, you know, typically they're going to be pretty fresh beers that we can, you know, really get into. But I could have one of these and be on with the next one.
I do get fresh characteristics from the IPA side of this beer. Like, I really get a lot of IPA characteristics from it. I like it a lot.
There's some citrus. I mean, there's grapefruit, orange type of fresh citrusy flavors, but in comparison to a double IPA, it's like half that. And I don't know what the breakdown is of how much of this blend is a double IPA and how much is the Belgian triple, but there's some fresh, you know, kind of citrusy hops, but I just think it's balanced. It's, you know, one of the most unique beers I've ever had.
So if I'm going to have somebody that isn't an IPA drinker drink a double IPA, generally they're going to drink it and it's going to be pretty much undrinkable to them. It seems like to me this has been cut with this Belgian that makes it more drinkable than your standard double IPA.
Well, you're describing me and I would agree.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that you're drinking a double IPA.
No,
either.
I wouldn't either.
No, but for a 9.5% beer, I'd say this is pretty drinkable.
I think it's very drinkable. Back to Andy's point about kind of the slow drinker, I mean, I think I agree 100%. I mean, I don't think I'm going to be sitting out at a ball game and just knocking a bunch of these back. Like, you know, I don't want to be like sitting in the sun drinking, you know, a bunch of these. I think it's something that you're.
That could be me at the ball game knocking these back and I'd be in trouble.
I really enjoy the flavor. I don't see myself that. I don't consider it light at all.
I mean, it's not really light, but it's. I get a lot of balance here. Any final thoughts, Jeff?
I just think it's not two styles I would have thought to blend together. I think it's interesting that they did. I'm sure there are better things to blend together, but it was worthwhile to try. Pretty interesting, unique beer. So I'm glad we had it.
Yeah, again, you know, I'm glad they've done something different and that we get to try them. So
for sure.
Good for Stone.
All right, it's time for Stone Trivia. Stone will be opening up two new brewery locations within the next year. Year and a half. Where are those locations?
You need the city or a country?
I would like the city and country.
One in Germany.
One's in Germany that I think we've known about for a while. Munich?
Berlin.
Berlin.
Let's go with Shanghai, China as the second guess.
Yes. I'm going to say no.
The other one is Asheville, North Carolina.
Right next to
that was going to be you didn't give us a chance to guess.
Oh, well, what were you going to guess?
I was going to say somewhere on the East Coast.
Okay. Well, that was close.
Well, there's been a big...
Everybody's going to North Carolina.
Cool.
Everyone will be there. So, yeah, but, you know, that's great for going to Germany. Stone in Germany. Yeah. You don't want to talk about the ability to change perception, you know? I mean, it's like... It's going to be very interesting to see how it's received and how drinking shifts, you know?
The good thing for them is that even if it doesn't work, if it doesn't sell well in Germany, is they at least have a distribution center for all of Europe. And so they're not dependent upon it succeeding in Germany.
That's true. I mean, I was in Germany last month, and all the beer was, you know, German beer. It's all 5.5, 6.2% is as high as it gets. The hops, you know, are limited. The beer we drink here are very different than the beer they drink there.
I think it'll be successful. I think it'll take. It'll be slow.
It'll be slow, but I think it's a great idea on Stone's part. If they're in there for the long haul, yep. And I'm sure they are, then it could completely change beer drinkers' palates, beer in general in Europe. I mean, it's a huge. I wouldn't say it's a gamble. It's just a huge step for California West Coast style IPAs.
I think they definitely have an uphill battle, though. I feel like they're very set in their ways over there. I think they like German beer in Germany, and that's all they have.
I think anywhere you are, though, there's that youth movement where it just has to catch on with the youth.
True.
And
that's
it,
true.
It will take off.
I mean, just think about America in general and what in the 70s, what everyone was drinking.
Yeah, our parents aren't drinking these beers.
They're drinking.
Because they are set in their ways.
They got their Miller and their Coors and their Bud.
Right, but all those beers are cheap knockoffs of German-style beers that, and it's all 5.5%, 5%, 4.5%, and they're drinking these beers. And then it happened here. It could happen in Germany, too. All right. We're going to take our quick break. When we come back, we have our Strange Brew segment with a Japanese green tea IPA, and then we try Ruination 1.0 versus 2.0 and figure out what the difference is there. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you're just finding this podcast on iTunes or some link on Twitter, we have a website, beeroftheday.com, and that is the main hub of what this website is a part of. Each day on Beer of the Day, we feature a new Beer of the Day. And for the next week, those beers of the day that come up will be the beers that we featured on this podcast. We have 6 beers today, so sometimes if we don't have a new show or there's a special event or whatever, then it might be a different beer that gets featured. But you can basically come to the site and rate and review, write comments on, discuss the beers or breweries with other users of the site, www.beeroftheday.com, and come check it out. Create an account. We will send you the new Beer of the Day each day, either by email or text message. We post it on Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook at The Beer of the Day. We also post it each day on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at Beer of the Day. Beer of the Day is the Twitter handle. If you have any comments about this show or the website, feel free to drop us an email, feedback@beeroftheday.com, and we'll read your comments right here on this show. All right, let's get back to the Strange Brew segment. Here we go. Welcome back to the Beer of the Day podcast. We have our Strange Brew segment. Today, we have Japanese green tea IPA from none other than Stone Brewing Company, Escondido, California. This beer has been in my fridge for a long time, and I've been trying to squeeze it on the show because green tea IPA, it just sounds interesting to me. So I'm glad we're finally having a chance to drink it.
So I don't expect this to be strange because, in my opinion, green tea tastes like nothing. So I expect this just to be a Stone IPA.
I made that exact comment earlier today.
That's true. Like we were talking about the show beforehand, and Steve was like, well, green tea doesn't taste like anything, so what's it going to taste like? I was like, okay. This beer has been in the fridge so long it's no longer available, so Jeff was unable to get it. So he'll just have to watch and
live vicariously through us.
Correct.
Well, salivate through the camera.
It smells like IPA.
with a hint of green tea, I might add.
Well, I smell nothing.
10.10%.
That's a big number.
Same as 10.1%, but yeah. It sounds bigger.
I mean, I know green tea has a lot of caffeine. Do you think that is lending some to the alcohol content here? High caffeine, so they figured we need to pump up the alcohol content.
Different drugs.
Yeah. Doesn't work that way.
You don't get a green tea smell from this?
Slight. I get a slight tea smell.
Yeah. I smell something.
Something's brewing in there.
You would think they'd have to use a lot of green tea to influence the flavor at all, you know? It says on the bottle there's 27 pounds of green tea per bottle.
What?
Per bottle?
Is that true? No. Maybe there is. It could be.
Wow.
Okay. It says this is a collaboration, and I missed that before. So let me look and see who it's a collaboration with.
Tsingtao, if I had to guess.
That's Chinese.
Oh, they drink tea in China.
Brian Bayard, a brewmaster, Bayard Brewing Company. And Toshi Ishii from Ishii Brewing Company. And Mitch Steele, brewmaster, Stone Brewing Company.
It tastes what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm curious, you know, when you're joking about how much green tea is in there, what the cost per pound is for good, like, Japanese green tea versus hops. You know, just comparing them side by side, if it has both in there, what's the cost comparison of the two? Who knows?
Yeah, good question.
You should Google that while we drink.
Yeah. Do something useful. So this just tastes like a watered-down IPA.
So my first sip, I took a kind of a really big taste of it in my mouth, and I got very IPA taste. I mean, just your classic IPA. Second taste, I took just a little tiny sip, and it literally tasted like I had tea in my mouth, and I was just drinking tea. I tasted no real beer at all.
Yeah, I get a fair amount of green tea on the aftertaste. I drink a lot of these Lipton's Diet green tea drinks from Costco, and so I'm pretty familiar with what
you're
supposedly
an aficionado.
Green tea. I mean, I'm not brewing myself tea every day. I'm drinking these drinks out of plastic bottles,
right.
But tastes a little like that.
I don't. I mean, I do get the green tea. All joking aside, I taste the tea.
Surprisingly to me, honestly,
it's surprising. I guess it's surprising, but it's very subtle. It doesn't bother me at all.
Okay, so then as an IPA, how do you rate this?
It has a little bit of a tea flavor. No, I don't know. The tea gives it kind of a refreshing quality.
It does. So let's forget the tea thing and just say, I hand this beer to you. Andy, here's an IPA. It's 10.1%.
Right.
What do you think of it? And you're going to describe this beer to us on the podcast like we do with 100 different IPAs. And you say, yes, it has a little tea. Maybe it's green tea.
No, I think I would say it's a little, I don't want to call it watered down because it's not overly watered down, but it's a little watery. It's crisp, you know, it's not a, is this just a regular IPA, right? Yeah. It's not overly hoppy at all, and maybe there's some.
Well, I mean, regular IPA. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
I'm sure you could call it a double IPA. At 10.1%, there's no regular IPA that's that. Later in the next segment, we talk about Ruination versus 2.0. In 2.0, they actually decided to call it a double IPA. The original one wasn't called that. So there's different terminology that's coming out now that's more standardized, and so. But, I mean...
This, in my opinion, is a beer that probably didn't need to be, but at the same time, it's really enjoyable. It's not going to serve a part of my market. It's not something I'm going to buy again. But it's cool. There's nothing wrong with it.
I think it's really good. I think, going back to the last segment, we were saying that I wouldn't want to drink the Points Unknown at a ball game. I could drink this at a ball game. I think crisp was the right word. And with that slight tea flavor, it just tastes easy to drink.
It
doesn't taste real heavy.
But as a limited release beer, it just tastes like a regular IPA.
It does.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, the 10.1%, I don't get that drinking this.
10.10.
Not coming through at all.
It. I mean, I get a little. I mean,
get the slight burn, get going down the alcohol burn a little bit, but
I don't get that at all either.
It's very drinkable for 10%. I mean, that's like regular beer times two.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right. So today is the 12th of July. It's Sunday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. We're here on the Beer of the Day balcony. And next week at this time, I will be in San Diego with Jeff. We're heading down there, and we're going to visit breweries. And so we decided, okay, before we go, let's, we had a lot of stone beer in the refrigerator. And B, you know, we want to do a little preview of our San Diego trip. So a week from tomorrow, we will be at Stone Brewery, and then that's Monday. And then before that, we're going to be visiting several different San Diego breweries. And Jeff, how about you take us through our itinerary?
Absolutely. So the plan, this is actually going to span 4 days of going to breweries. So I'm really looking forward to that. We're starting off in the LA area before we go down to San Diego. So on Friday, our plan is to go to Claremont Craft Ales, which never been there, but they have one beer I've had, Jacaranda, which I'm really looking forward to trying at the brewery. We're also going to go to Dale Brothers in Upland. Then we're going to make our way down to San Diego on Saturday. And our maybe this is overly ambitious, but we're planning to go to 5 breweries on Saturday. Those would be Alesmith, Intergalactic, Society, Belching Beaver, and Mike Hess. And figure that's a pretty solid day. So on Sunday, we're going to, you know, take it a little easy. Sunday, we're going to Coronado, Amplified Ale Works, and Pizza Port. And Pizza Port has a couple different locations. We've been to a couple of them, so we'll probably go to the Solana Beach location. And then on Monday, as Dallas already mentioned, on the way home, we're going to go to Stone in Escondido. So pretty full trip over 4 days, a lot of breweries, very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, so this podcast will come out on Tuesday, the 14th. And so if you are hearing this podcast and you want to go, we'll be tweeting where we're at from each location. We'll post pictures and everything on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And then if you ever want to head out to any of these places and meet up with us, you're more than welcome to do that. So that's kind of our itinerary. And then next weekend, San Diego, Beer of the Day in San Diego. Look out. Okay, so the next segment here, we have recently Stone has come out with Ruination 2.0. Ruination is their stronger version of their IPA. And they came out with their 2.0 version of it, and they gave some reasons why. And basically, to sum it up, when they came out with Ruination originally, it was supposed to be the hoppiest beer that there was. It was for like true IPA drinkers to get a little gritty, you know, to have one of those really strong IPAs. The fact of the matter is that as time has gone on, technology, the availability of hops, the techniques of extracting hops and bitterness has grown. And they're able to get much hoppier beers now. And also, the taste of craft beer drinkers hadn't been adjusted. Their palates weren't used to it. And so, at the time, Ruination was Ruination, right? It would ruin your palate. Everyone has now evolved and been drinking all these hoppy beers. And breweries like Knee Deep, we talked about earlier, have come out with stronger double, triple, quadruple IPAs that have just completely changed the hop game. And Ruination, as it was, wasn't Ruination anymore. So now they are retiring Ruination, and they've come out with Ruination 2.0. It's now called the double IPA on the bottle, and So as I read this article and saw this happening, I was like, okay, I got to get a bottle of Ruination IPA, the original, so that we can kind of sample it side by side and see, you know, what's the difference between Ruination 2.0 and then the original 1.0. So it just so happens we all have them here.
I can't wait.
I think we're lucky too. Like, I got this bottle of Ruination, I shouldn't call it 1.0, but the original Ruination about a month ago. It was the last bottle at the store close to where I live. And since then, I've been keeping an eye out for it. I have not seen it since. I mean, it's been retired. I'm pretty sure it's not available anymore. There might be some smaller places that still have it, but I'm very much looking forward to comparing these side by side.
On 4th of July, I went to the BevMo to buy the beer for the party, and they still had a whole shelf of one of Ruination Original there. So it's still trickling off the shelves, but it won't be available for long. So if you want to do the same thing, you want to try the original versus the new 2.0, if you see it on the shelf, get it so that you can do the same type of test.
So Ruination is or was my favorite beer from Stone. As far as their mass production beers, it's the one I always wanted. So, Dal, the big one is one, and the small glass is two.
Great.
So I'm looking forward to the improvement, you know.
I always loved Ruination back in the day when I'd go and I'd see those big bottles and then Ruination's there. I'd buy that, and boy, drinking that was just hop heaven.
And finding it on tap was like, you know, you won the lottery. It was great.
It was impossible, but occasionally you'd see it.
Oh, there's a bottle opening.
So are we going to try to pour these next to each other and just compare sip for sip?
Yes, we have done that.
I was kind of even just looking at the color. I mean, almost identical color, in my opinion. I mean, you could think, looking at that, that could be the exact same beer.
Yeah, the new one might be just a little bit cloudier. And just maybe, I don't know, maybe my hand's in the way. Yep, it's just a shade darker and a shade cloudier. The new one is just slightly darker.
Same for me.
All right, I'm going to start with the original.
Now, I have to say, kind of, you know, along the lines of what Andy and Dallas said, Stone Ruination may have been the first double IPA I ever had. It was definitely one of the first, if not the first. And I remember not really liking it at the time, to the point where, you know, I didn't drink this for several years. And maybe it was too bitter for me at the time. I mean, this beer's been around for a while, and I'm sure my palate has evolved. But I was never a big fan of Ruination when it came out.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how I feel about it now.
So try it now. I'm surprised at how
so sweet,
light and drinkable this beer is compared to these other beers we've had today. I mean, it is like exactly when I had Ruination originally, it was like a big deal. It was like, okay, I got to step up here and get through this Ruination because it is going to ruin me. But
yeah, I don't even drink IPAs, and the Ruination, the original one, I just drank it and I was like, this is nothing.
That's funny.
So you guys are outside, I'm inside, and when I open this, it's got that weed smell. Like my whole room smells like weed.
Yeah, a little bit.
Stink.
No, I get that, and it's got that taste too. It's got a little bit of a.
You guys, sorry to interrupt you. Do a smell test on both of them side by side, and I don't know if they're intentionally, if they like smelled it up a little bit. But
oh yeah, for sure.
The 2.0 smells about a million times hoppier.
It is like at least five times more pungent than the original.
But it's got like that Citra hop flavor. I don't know if there's Citra hops in it, but it's got more of that fruitier. And their hops that didn't exist back when they started brewing Ruination. So,
exactly. And I mean, we're getting into this whole, like, I guess dry hopping at the time they didn't do what they do with Torpedo or whatever. And so now they're doing that with this. I know the hop oil thing is becoming all the rage where you get, I don't think they're doing that with this, but I don't really know. I know they've learned all kinds of new tricks for hopping beers that is able to really pack in that hop punch. And I'm astonished at the differences in the smell between these two beers. I haven't tasted the new one yet. Okay. I don't want to
taste it.
To wreck it yet, but
taste it.
I tasted it.
So the first one to me, and again, I think it's been several years since I've had the Ruination. It's to me, this is what I've come to think of as like your classic West Coast style double IPA. The citrus, the pine, the amount of hops, it's very smooth. It's not really bitter at all. I mean, this is the original Ruination is a really great double IPA.
It is, no doubt about it.
So, Jeff, have you tasted them both yet?
No.
I need you to do that for me.
I'm doing it now.
These are not even close to being the same beer.
I think they should take Ruination, the old formula, and make that Stone IPA. Yeah. And then make Ruination the new one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. I had
sip. And then take Stone IPA and make that Stone Pale.
I mean, it's
just downgrade it's everything.
Bigger, it's bolder.
Inflation.
The hops,
right?
Have a different, yeah, the inflation. Hops have a very different profile.
Yeah, very different profile. Different flavor, totally. What's the alcohol difference on the two, alcohol content wise?
Just 8.5 to 8.2.
This one is so floral. It like it envelops your whole tongue. Like the whole hop spectrum is just lit up. It really is. It's such a big beer, a big flavor.
I mean, the new one is a little more bitter, but I feel like this is what they're trying to do, and our palates are going to continue to evolve where, you know, a couple of years from now, this bitterness is going to be something we're completely used to and comfortable with.
It's like, okay, so my tongue is a spectrum, and the original one hits on a certain narrow band, yep, of the hop spectrum. And then the second one, it's like the whole spectrum is lit up. It's like hitting all the different hop receptors or taste receptors, you know, on your tongue.
Are they using a completely different type of hop or more types of hops?
No, absolutely different types of hops. They said in the article, you know,
it's huge.
They're using hops that didn't exist when they first brewed this beer. And it's such, you could call these two different beers,
absolutely,
and sell them.
Yeah, absolutely.
This actually makes me sad that they're going to stop brewing Ruination.
I mean, when I drank it, I was like, wow, this is really good. The first one I had.
Yes. That's what I thought too.
And the second one is different, is great for a whole different way. Where, I mean, if you want like the hoppy beer to end all hops,
the West Coast style, the Citra, Simcoe, all that, that's it.
And it's huge, and it just envelops you. Whereas the first one maybe used to do that, the second one really is, it really is the updated version. I mean, it's hard to, it's hard to argue with what they're doing here.
I get it, but I don't know that they had to change it. Like, you know, drinking the original Ruination, it's smoother to me. It's more drinkable. I think it was fine. They didn't need to update it, but the new one,
I think it's marketing.
Yeah, they're going for that. They're going for the
right. But and I agree. But I think they should still do the original one. It's a great beer. It's and as they said, it's completely different than when I started drinking it. 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
I think these are two different beers. I don't know that you need to have Ruination and Ruination 2.0. I think they could have come up with a second beer, call it something else,
right?
Yeah, call 2.0
and kept making
different.
Both of them.
Yeah,
but they should have Ruination Classic or something, and then just have that.
They're gonna have to learn the way that Coke did.
They will. In a couple more years, they'll come back out with it.
Okay, we heard the people. Let's change back.
Right.
But the new one's not bad. It's a good beer. It's more complex, I would say. It's a little more astringent,
yes,
than the first one. But I think of it as bigger and bolder. It'll take a little getting used to, but I like it.
It's good. It reminds me of
Citra a lot.
It reminded me of Citra, and
it reminds me of Sierra Nevada Hop Hunter, like how Hop Hunter.
Yeah, but it's more floral.
Yeah, but it's like
similar.
There is some type of hop spectrum, and Ruination kind of sat at the bottom of that spectrum, and then there's these more floral, lighter, kind of fruitier hops at the top of the spectrum, and it's hitting more of those, but then the whole thing all at once.
I agree.
So I understand why, but I will miss the original and maybe it's nostalgia and I remember that beer and think of it fondly. But I sure would like to have that beer again.
Yeah, I'll never drink Ruination 2.0 and think of the first one. I won't. No. It just won't happen.
Couldn't happen.
No. It's so different than the first. Okay, so the next beer we have is the barley wine, Old Guard, barley wine style, Old Guardian, 11.2%. This is the 2015, what does it say there, classic? On the bottom in
classic
the red.
Release.
Classic release.
Yeah.
So they came out with a lot of different versions of this Old Guardian, barrel aged and some different ones, but apparently this is just a remake of their classic.
Did we get the same one as Jeff?
I don't have this one, so this is all you guys. That's a no. I found this, but they have a separate version that's the extra hoppy version, but I could not find this one, so I don't know if they... I'm sure they're making both still, but I could only get the extra hoppy version.
Look at all that head on there. Is that the pour job, or was that the...
both.
Mine got a lot.
I think it's the beer, partly.
So a lot of head, kind of a light copper color. Penny from 76.
Possibly earlier.
So I've had this beer once before, but it was immediately after polishing off the end of a handle of gin. So I don't remember it. So this is like I'm having it for the first time.
Very sweet alcoholic smell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very sweet.
Big time on the brown sugar and molasses notes there. The
barley wine's a style that I enjoy when they're good, but I hate when they're bad, and it's a very polarizing style. You all right, Dal?
Yeah, I mean, this is very alcoholic. It's a lot tougher for me to drink, so I look at this and I say, this is only 1.1% more alcohol than that Japanese green tea beer.
And they're like just the opposite end of life, you know?
Yeah, they're the opposite end of the style of beer. I mean, not really, but
they're pretty close. I mean, they're pretty opposite. That one was light and refreshing. This one is
dark and alcoholic, yeah. and kicks you in the teeth.
How good would this be on a snowy day in Northern California?
A little bit of,
as we sit out here in the
95 degree
heat in drought stricken California, yes. Looking over the beer of the day courtyard with the brown grass that we can't water.
So I didn't read the bottle, but I'm sure this is the type of beer that you would age for a while. So they intend to sell it in the summer so you can drink it in the winter. And you can even tell all the IPAs have an enjoy by date on them. This one doesn't. It has a bottled on date instead, so you know how long you've been storing it. So that makes sense. We're probably just kind of drinking this at the wrong time of year. And it hasn't aged enough, so.
I actually think the flavor is pretty good. I mean, compared to like a, I know they're different styles completely, but like a Mary Sue or an Arrogant Bastard, those other really high alcohol content beers I've had. This, I don't know. I mean, this tastes a little bit, it's pretty easy to drink to me. It doesn't taste really super alcoholic on the taste.
And third sip rule, it definitely has gotten easier to drink than the last sip I had. I mean, it's really, the difference between Ruination and this is night and day.
Yeah.
But after I've had a few sips, it's actually becoming a little more drinkable.
There's a syrupy quality to it, and it's kind of, you know, I always have syrupy. It's either really good or really bad. It's kind of the middle. But that's expected from a barley wine. They're going to be low carbonation beers. They're going to be high alcohol. They're going to be kind of sweet. And that's what you got. There is a little hop character to it. You can get the little bitterness out of this.
Yeah. It's actually a lot better beer than I thought originally. Like, there's a lot. This isn't barrel aged. Am I right?
No, it's not.
So they have a barrel aged version of this, and I think it takes well to barrel aging because they have versions of that are.
Yeah.
But you know, you start comparing that to those barrel aged ales, and it kind of it stands up pretty well.
Definitely. Any thoughts, Jeff? While you sit,
I wish I had this one, but I'm not a big barley wine drinker. Maybe that's what my palate evolves into next. But I'm glad you guys got to try this one.
I don't think your palate's gonna evolve into this.
I think that because I was, you know, 2008, 2009, barley wine was kind of like, oh, I can't drink that. It's too much. But I've had a lot of them over the last few years, especially in the wintertime. And I've found a couple of my favorite beers now are barley wines. And, you know, this isn't one of them, but it's not bad. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a solid beer.
Not bad.
I think I should get a few of these and store them in my wine fridge and give them a year or two, and they'll be pretty good beers.
Why don't you do that? I'll come visit in 2 years.
All right, well, it's that time of the program where we need to select our favorite beer of the day. Let's
Before we do that, though, let's recap the beers we've had.
I was just getting to that, Andy.
Okay, so we started off with the Hi-Fi Lo-Fi mixtape. Then we moved on to the Points Unknown IPA, the collaboration with Stone and two other breweries. Then we had our Strange Brew, the Japanese Green Tea IPA. Then we had the Ruination Original versus the Ruination 2.0. And then we finished off with the Old Guardian Barley Wine Style Ale. So, Jeff, you missed out on a few of these, but I want to go ahead and let you go first.
All right. This is tough for me. I put these into sort of two camps, two that I really enjoyed and two that were good. All four were decent beers that I liked drinking, and I would have all four again. It would be weird for me to pick the original Ruination as the beer of the day. I liked it a lot, but that, as I kept drinking it, it seemed a little more flat and a little syrupy compared to the 2.0, and I'm still drinking them side by side. So based on that, I think my beer of the day is the Points Unknown. I just really liked this blend of something I've never had before. It was probably one of the most unique beers I've ever had. It was a solid beer, you know, two of my favorite styles mixed together. So I got to go with Points Unknown.
Okay, so I'll go next. I have to give it a nice little send off and pick it as my beer of the day. I'm going to go with Ruination, the original. There's just,
I love it.
It brings you back to that first time you had it.
Yep.
And it's like, exactly. Wow, there is a reason why I thought this was the greatest beer back then, because it is.
That's why I feel terrible. I think they need to like have the classic version or come out with it.
Hey, Stone is a master marketer, and I wouldn't put it past them to bring this beer back in some fashion.
So on Monday, I'm going to go to Stone. I'm going to tell them,
yeah,
hey, you need to keep this around because it's a solid beer.
But it's better for them. They'll wait a year, and then they'll release it again.
Yeah. They'll make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, make a big deal out of it. Yeah. But
they should, too, because do I buy Stone Ruination anymore? No. But having it just now compared to the other one, I'm like, man, I hate to see this beer
go.
Go
better pick up all those ones you saw on the shelf the other day.
Yeah, I'm going. Fair Oaks.
It's just, I'm actually, the Ruination 2.0 is, it saddens me because it's a great beer, but it's just not even, it's not an evolution of the beer it was. It's just a different IPA, double IPA. So, the Ruination 1.0, that's my pick.
Okay.
It's obvious this isn't my cup of tea on this episode today. I didn't love any of these beers. I didn't hate any of these beers. They actually all were okay to me. I was probably going to pick the Ruination 1.0 as my favorite because it's already mentioned twice. I really liked I think I'm going to go my beer of the day as a Strange Brew, the Japanese Green Tea IPA. It was really easy to drink to me. I liked it. The green tea flavor was just so subtle on there, but I'm a tea fan. I liked it a lot. It surprised me.
I don't disagree with you. That was my second favorite.
I liked it a lot. All right, for my beer of the day, and I don't think we had any bad beers here today, which is great. I mean, every once in a while, it depends on the show, you know, and you go with Stone, and they've had things figured out pretty well, so it's really hard to get a bad beer. I'm going to go with, before I say it, I'm going to say that this is a style of beer I'm not a huge fan of. I've had very few Belgian-style IPAs that I really like. I'd rather have a regular IPA. This is the first one that I've had that I actually enjoyed the blend between the two. So I'm going Points Unknown IPA. And as much as I liked, I was very happy to have the original Ruination. And I agree with Andy that I'm sad. I'm going to tell them. I'm telling you, on Monday, I'm going to tell them that, hey, this is too good a beer to let go. But Points Unknown, I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised by how good it was. And I would like to have that one again. So I'm going with Points Unknown IPA.
Belgian Triple.
Yeah. All right. So next weekend, we will be in San Diego. Jeff, can you run us through where we're going to be? One more time.
Again?
Again.
Yeah, let me get my
list. I want to let everyone know where we're going to be.
If you want to join us, Friday night we'll be at Claremont Craft Ales and Dale Brothers, both in the LA area, Ontario, Claremont, Upland area. On Saturday afternoon, we will be at Alesmith and then Intergalactic and then Society Brewing Company and then Belching Beaver and Mike Hess. And just to clarify, Belching Beaver and Mike Hess each have two locations. We're going to the North Park tasting rooms. And then on Sunday, probably in the afternoon, we're going to be going first to Amplified Ale Works, which is in Pacific Beach, and then Coronado Brewing Company, and then Pizza Port in Solana Beach. And then on Monday, as Dallas mentioned, we're going to go to Stone in Escondido. So that's the plan.
Whenever they open.
See you out there.
Yeah, and follow us on Twitter, at Beer of the Day, and we'll be tweeting from each location. You can kind of figure out where we're going to be throughout that process. And that will conclude our Stone show. But we thank you for tuning in today and invite you to check out our website, beerofthedaystone.com. If you like this show, if you hate this show, either way, send us an email, feedback@beerofthedaystone.com. We'll see you next week. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, and Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Helliker. This has been the Beer of the Day podcast. Not just stepping stone.